Welcome to the Married Man Show with Married Man Jack, Married Man Jay, and tonight's special guest host, Kristen Boston, who's also
married.
Hey, still.
Still married. But is this the first we've had all three hosts are married?
Yeah, I think actually, good point.
On the Married Man Show. First time ever.
Yeah, all three hosts on the show are married, and yeah, we have.
I might say happily married.
Yeah, I can't speak because, for Kristen Boston, but
because it's going out on the air, so we should all say happily married.
I am very happily married, actually, and I'm just saying, not saying that just because my wife is literally standing right in front of me, writing me notes, and she does not want to interrupt the show. You can say hello, dear.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
But no, yes, I am a very happily married man.
Is she writing you notes or are you at gunpoint?
Yeah. That's,
she's literally making honey-do lists while I'm doing the Married Man Show.
Oh, man. Nice. What's on the honey-do list?
What's on the honey-do list?
All you need to know is happy wife, happy life.
Oh, whatever.
Well, this is the domain in which the married man rules. It's the only place where the married man rules. But for those who don't know, Kristen Boston, longtime friend of the show. Otherwise known as Chris Skypeck. I guess we really haven't defined what we're going to call you, but I think Kristen Boston is a good
Actually,
name.
For old time, he's the reason Mentos got the name Mentos.
Yes, actually,
right,
yeah.
Right. So, yeah, that's where.
The Mentos. Yes, those.
That's where Mentos got its name.
For Long Time This Is a Married Man Show, it is an allusion to marijuana, is Mentos. I guess to introduce yourself to the listeners at home, do you want to tell the story, the Mentos story, from your perspective?
Yeah, sure. I would be happy to. So before we get into the Mentos, I'll give you some substance behind who I am.
Okay, perfect.
I met you guys, actually. Let's start over. You guys actually introduced me to podcasting in general, to be completely honest with you. So way back in the day when I was watching Lost, for some reason I decided to search Lost in iTunes, and I found you guys. I started listening to you for quite a long time. And then I ended up through your show listening to Metro Buzz and meeting Colleen and that crew. And then from Metro Buzz, I met the crew from the Media Junkyard. To which on one of the 24-hour podcasts in Raleigh, we finally met up. We all road trip down together and just met up in Raleigh for the first time ever. And that's where I met Chris and Rob and all of those guys and somehow convinced them all to book flights to San Diego that year, which is fantastic. But then I started, you know, recording with those guys on Media Junkyard. So I was a co-host on Media Junkyard quite a long time. It was a blast. You know, I had so much fun with those guys. But to fast forward a little bit, Jay, speaking of marriage, when you were and Colleen were getting married, we were at your wedding, and I had met Dale for the first time at the wedding. I could tell right when I met him, he wasn't right about himself. I knew something was up. So I introduced myself and he's like, who the fuck are you? You know, he didn't know who I was from a hole in the wall, but we hit it off. Like, cause Dale's he's a fun loving guy. He's a good guy to talk to. He's easy to talk to. And then we were at the reception, after your wedding, and it was getting a little bit late. So we all had a bunch of drinks in us. And, at the time, I used to be a smoker. So I was outside having a cigarette, and I saw Dale, like, in his suit, whatever, kind of run out of the reception and go to his beat-up-ass truck that he had there. I think it was a hunk of junk. I saw him parked, and, like, I thought when he closed the door, like, you know, the door was going to fall off the frame. But he comes running over to me. He's all, like, frantic. He's like, hey, man, you know, you want these? And he hands me this container of Mentos. And I'm like, yeah, dude, I mean... shit, thanks. I thought maybe he was like, so I didn't smell like cigarettes when I went back into the reception or whatever. And he's like, all right, man, have fun. You know, I hope you enjoy them. And I'm like, what? The fresh maker? I mean, how much of a good time you have with the fresh maker? So he goes inside, and I was like, well, shit, I'm going to have some minty fresh breath when I go back in there. I pop it open, and that thing was full of like a six pack of joints inside the Mento. And I was like, all right. So that was actually right around the time when Thor, you remember the movie Thor, obviously you remember the movie Thor with Chris Hemsworth.
Yes,
that movie premiered that summer,
my twin.
Yeah. Your biological twin, of course. That movie premiered not too long after you guys got married. And I went to that movie solo, which, by the way, is the coolest thing to do. I love going to the movies by myself. But I sat there, and I may have put those things to good use before going to that movie. So that movie was awesome.
How was the Rainbow Bridge?
And then I saw it again when it came out on digital release, and I was like, man, this movie sucks. But you know, Mentos makes your breath in movies better. That's for damn sure.
Oh man, yeah.
I had a similar experience many, many, many years ago with a movie that I may or may not have seen on Mentos. They call him Bruce. It's supposed to be a takeoff of a Bruce Lee movie. And I told everybody this was the funniest damn movie you've ever seen. I'm telling people this, and they go, and they come back to me, what the hell? This movie sucks. They go, oh, you guys are just crazy. That movie was hilarious. So I saw it Mentos free, and I go, wow, this movie really does suck. So I will always remember they call him Bruce as at one point a great movie to turn bad.
Post-Mentos.
Post-Mentos, yes.
Oh man, Mentos goggles. I guess that's the the term there.
Yeah, but speaking of, you know, and it was a pleasure to have met Dale that day, and I'll say it's also a pleasure to be the first host after Dale.
In
kind of this guest host rotation. So it's a pleasure to be here. I'm looking forward to hanging out with you guys.
Yeah, we are as well. Again, longtime friend, practically family. To us these days, and you know, I look back. I mean, really, we first got to know you through the message board, the old Lost Podcast message board.
Fucking message board. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, the where you had to get karma for saying cool shit.
Yeah.
That's right.
I didn't know. I remember that. Jay goes, "Hey, you got to tell people thanks for the karma." I go, "What?"
Yeah.
He goes, "Yeah, they're giving you karma." I go, "Why?" I go, all right, fine.
And again, this is pushing on a decade ago, so suppose maybe they weren't part of that in the day. There was a little, you know, karma thing. It was kind of like likes, but it was on your profile. And that was a thing.
That was cool.
Yeah, that's actually how I coordinated how I was going to meet up with Illyrio at my first Comic-Con that I went to. We made plans on the message boards.
Now, did we meet you the same time we met Illyrio for the first time? Because I know I met both of you in person at Comic-Con for the first time.
Yeah, you know, we met at Comic-Con. I think that was the first time we actually met in IRL, in real life. It was the year that Lost was pretty big at Comic-Con. I remember they had those cute Dharma chicks working the booth.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, that was the year that we all met, I think, for the first time.
That was part of the Lost experience, I think.
That's right. And I got interviewed.
You got interviewed, by the official Lost podcast. Yeah.
I got to find that. Is that still available somewhere? It's probably
on
ABC, right?
I'm sure it is. We got to find that.
That was with Chris White, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I felt like the king of the world. And all of a sudden I had people texting me saying I'm on ABC's podcast. That was pretty cool.
That's when I made it big.
Oh, it was huge.
why, you know, Jack and I thought you'd be a great guest host is you are happily married. You also have... a beautiful young daughter.
Yeah, Emma, she's the best.
Yeah.
Wait, how old is Emma now?
So it's funny you should ask. Her fourth birthday party is Saturday.
Oh, wow.
Of this week.
You know, I have a grandson that's like almost two. So I'm not into arranged weddings, but you know, maybe 18 years down the road.
Oh, I see. You're trying to hook the your grandson up with my daughter, and here I am thinking you're just referencing how old you were.
People know I'm old.
Well, your grandson is definitely one handsome individual.
So I think together they'd be a cute couple.
You're already pushing up for the grandkids. You don't need to push for the great grandkids. Settle down.
Any younger.
You know, actually, I think
you guys took long enough.
Well, here's the thing. Now, Boston, you might be able to align with this, but isn't like the pressure to have kids like from your parents? It's just absolutely ridiculous. They need to chill out.
Yeah, you know, it was for a period of time before we had Emma. But my brother also kind of paved the road for me.
Oh, okay, so you're lucked out there.
Yeah, I have an older brother who has three kids, and yeah, he had three kids before I had my first. So the pressure wasn't too hard, but yeah. There's a considerable amount on her side of my side.
To be fair to me, I didn't have any grandkids, and they'd been married, 17 years, 18 years, Jay?
No, we're only married like 4 years, I think, right?
4 years, but what's the point of getting married if you're not going to have kids?
They're not mutually exclusive. You don't, like, people can be married and not have kids. It's not the, I mean, that's a perfectly viable option.
Only reason I would get married is if I had kids.
That's for you. That doesn't mean it's for everybody.
But that's how life should be.
Stop trying to push your lifestyle on me, man.
That's what I do.
All right, let's get the wife on the show here. What does she think about that statement that you just made?
My wife?
Oh,
she agrees with it.
She agrees with it.
Well, no, I was always honest and upfront with it. Well, we came in. I was ready-made family, so we had kids right off the bat. I said, "I do, kid."
That's true. You that's what you get for guys dating a woman that already has a kid.
And to be fair, there may have been another one on the way already.
Ah, get the shotgun.
So either my daughter was born 7 months premature, or she was just born right on time. So,
whoops.
Because the wedding got pushed up 6 months.
So here's my thing: is I feel like that story maybe for you was kind of a fabricated story, so you didn't feel as bad, Heather didn't feel as bad that it was a shotgun wedding, or was the wedding really on the books?
Well, we were going to get married. We said, okay, we'll make it four. Because she goes, you never got on your hands and knees. I go, but did we agree to get married? What's the point? She doesn't sound very romantic, but I agreed to the wedding.
You sound really romantic.
I know. People said,
I agreed to wedding.
I agreed to the wedding. I didn't back down. I'm still here. How many people get down on one hand and one knee and they're gone like a year later? All right. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint, right? So I she keeps throwing that in my face all the time. But no, I told her, I said, well, the only reason I'd get married is to have kids. What other point is there?
That's a happy, loving union of two people that provides an excellent tax deduction. Well, if you have the right account.
I'm telling you right now, it's not helping me right now.
Well, because your kids are gone. You've lost the tax advantage.
Everything is gone. I mean, it's just ridiculous. It's like, what do I need? I don't know.
The problem I face is that we only have
cats
one
and two dogs.
We only have one kid, and in North Carolina, they don't let you deduct until you have two kids.
Oh, get out!
Yeah, so it's still federal, but
North Carolina. When we first moved here, they actually just gave you money to be here. You want to live here, but we're giving you money. It was like you're going to live here. Okay, cool. We'll give you that. Now it's like you're living here. We're taking everything you own. There's nothing. You know, they've taken every deduction away.
You know, we bought our house like 2 or 3 months after Emma was born. So we're coming up on 4 years in our home. But before we actually bought this house, we seriously considered moving to North Carolina. It was like on the list of places we think to move. And I will admit to you, it's solely because of the television show One Tree Hill. That place looked fucking awesome. And I wanted to live in One Tree Hill. Right on the water. I wanted to have a beach house. I wanted to go down to the coffee shop. And I wanted to play basketball in the river court, which I hear is now gone. But so I'm glad we didn't make the move because the river court is no longer in existence. Well,
that would have
sucked. So was it like a quick Google search to realize that One Tree Hill was not real? That I was like, okay, I can't go there.
But it was filmed in Wilmington, and Wilmington's gorgeous. So we actually did entertain the idea of looking at real estate in the Wilmington area, as we probably couldn't have afforded at the time, still or now, Wilmington proper. But we chose not to, so here we are.
Well, we chose Raleigh almost for the same reason, because every time on the Andy Griffith Show, anytime they went to Raleigh, it was a big deal.
Yeah,
they got all dressed up. They all wore suits. It was a big deal going to Raleigh. I got here and I'm still not figuring out why it was such a big deal. I guess when you're coming from Mayberry, but I still haven't figured out what the big deal was to go to Raleigh.
Raleigh's nice. There's stuff to, you know, Jack criticizes, but Jack doesn't leave the house. There is a lot of fun stuff.
I went to Home Depot today and Chick-fil-A to get a shake. So I did a lot today.
So I've been to Raleigh a couple of times, you know, visiting you guys for the live show, and I didn't find a whole lot going on in Raleigh.
Exactly.
Oh,
exactly.
However, Waffle House is in Raleigh, and that is something that I am not privy to here in the Northeast, and I do miss my experiences at the Waffle House. No, but in all seriousness, downtown Raleigh was actually a nice place. It's clean. You know, I'm not used to, you know, the city type areas that are as clean as yours is. You may not think that, but when you look at places like Boston, New York, any places up here, the winter takes its toll on these areas. So it was actually nice to be down there and kind of get that feel a little bit.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, and this is just what I've heard. Most people in Boston, the restroom is just the street, right? Isn't that the...
I don't know about that, but well, it depends on what time of night and where in Boston you are.
Yes.
I may or may not have taken a piss in the street before. I mean, I can't.
Can neither confirm back, nor deny.
I've been downtown New York a couple of times, and yeah, that's a dirty place.
I can't stand New York. I really can't.
Really? I guess you're from Boston, so you have to hate New York.
No, I don't think it's even that. I don't even.
Too many people.
It's just too much shit going on. Like, I don't even live in Boston. Like, I've always lived in the outskirts of Boston. So I don't actually live in Boston. So, shocker to the world, Chris in Boston lives in Chris outside of Boston.
But really, for the rest of the world, you live in Boston. Like, it's just I live in a suburb right outside. Yeah. No, you're in Boston.
Isn't anyone from Massachusetts from Boston?
Yeah, it's the state of Boston.
there are literally like seven different distinct areas of Massachusetts that you can be from. And if you tell one person that they're from the other, you might get, you know, knocked out. You have to be careful.
So the mass hole is applicable to anybody in Massachusetts.
That's absolutely true. You know, it's funny. I was driving down the home from work. Yeah, I actually work in Providence. Rhode Island, and which is about an hour south of Boston, and I live in Massachusetts, working in Rhode Island. And when you go over the state border on the highway, you know, they got the Department of Transportation signs on the road saying, like, you know, construction ahead, blah blah blah, you know, reduced speeds, whatever. And then one day I was driving home, and it says, "Use your blinker." BLINKAH, legitimately.
On a legit state sign.
Legitimate state sign. I'm not even joking. And they got a little clever with that, but they actually did some cross promotional stuff. I wouldn't call it promotional, but when Star Wars came out, it says Yoda uses the Force. You should use your blinker. Like, all over the place. I thought it was kind of cool, but
they are very obsessed about the blinker in the Northeast. I realize that because, like, my wife is obsessed with making sure you use the blinker. To me, it's if there's no cars, why do you need to use a blinker?
Oh, so you're one of those dickheads.
No, but I'm saying, if there's no cars behind you, why do you need a blinker?
I said, because what happens is you get in a habit of not signaling. And then you go right in front of somebody, and you make the turn, and they're just looking at you like, you dick.
Yeah, like, I hate when that happens, but when it does, you're like, I need to see what this motherfucker looks like. And you speed up, and you endanger yourself and the passengers
exactly.
in your car. And then
exactly.
you pull up next to them, you look over, and you say, fucking exactly what I thought you were going to look like, you prick.
My wife will go like, why are you getting so upset? I go, fucker, sitting there. I'm obviously waiting for this dickhead to turn, and they just go straight. I think they're going to go straight, and they turn in front of me.
Well,
they
that's different, right? I'm saying, like, on a freeway, there's no cars behind you, so what's the big deal?
Now, see, for me, it's a little bit on the opposite, though. So if that ever happens when my wife is in the car and I'm driving, you damn sure it's instantly my fucking fault that someone drove in front of us. She's like, Chris, what are you doing? Like, stop driving like an asshole. I'm like, I literally have done nothing wrong here. This jackass over here is trying to cut me off, and it's obviously my fault.
So is your wife a horrible backseat driver or side seat driver?
Only with me, though. She's the type of driver too.
Shit, I hope she can't hear me.
No one's listening.
No one's listening. I mean, I'm a loud son of a bitch, so she can absolutely hear me upstairs. But when she's driving, she's the type of person that can't get that constant speed with the gas pedal without like. She's definitely at the top of the stairs right now, by the way.
She's staring at me.
you get like that feeling that you want to just throw up because you're like going back and forth, like ever so slightly, you know. And then I was like, Jesus Christ, this is terrible. And then I realized that one day when I was riding in my mother-in-law's car, and I was like, oh, this makes tons of sense. Like the worst driver I've ever ridden with ever before. And I will never, ever, ever ride with my mother-in-law driving again.
So when you drive with her, do you venture into the territory of saying, you drive just like your mother?
No, hell no. No.
Say it one time. Get it off your chest.
Yeah. I feel like
you'll feel better. It'll be it's like a Band-Aid. You're ripping it off real quick. And she'll go, okay, thanks, honey.
Well, you know, she actually knows that her mom's a bad driver, too. So,
see.
Oh, boy.
Well, cause I know is that like footsteps coming towards
you? Heard
your...
that?
Yes.
Yeah, I heard that.
I fear for you right now.
Shit.
Get out unless of the house.
Unless that's my daughter running around. Let's just
the
hope
the call is coming from inside the house. Get out.
That's hysterical. That's pretty loud. So we're going to stop talking about that for a second.
When my wife and I will travel to New York or anywhere long distance, I now get her. I said, hey, get some movies on your iPad. Get some, you know, get some book to read on her iPad. Just, hey, why don't you sit? You know what we can do? Get you in the back. Get a pillow there for you set up so you can be comfortable, because she's a pain in the ass. And she admits she's a pain in the ass. But she's like around like just today. Why are you doing this? Why are you going that? Why'd you go through? Why'd you stop at the light? I go, you're braking too hard. You're not. You don't have to brake. Speed up, the whole way. It's like when I have the GPS on. I go, well, what? I got two people telling me how to drive. How nice.
Well, that's another thing too. The GPS. Like my wife is useless without a GPS. So her phone's GPS functions like shit the bed last week.
Uh-oh.
So I get a call. And of course that's my fault, right?
Wait, hold on. So I worked at Apple for a long time.
Yeah.
So she do the same thing that Colleen does, which is just like try and take personal digs at me for the Apple product not working properly?
Oh, absolutely. If anything's wrong with the phone, you damn sure it's my fault, right? So I get a phone call the other day, and she's like two towns over. Like, you should know how the fuck to get home when you're two towns over, right? So I get the phone call, and she's like, the GPS isn't working. Blah, 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 blah. I don't know how the hell I'm gonna get home. I'm like, where are you? She's like, I don't know. The GPS isn't working. I'm like, just look around. Like, what do you see? You know, is there a street sign? You know, is there a building? Is there a shopping center? Like what? Completely non-functional without electronic GPS. And you know, of course, that leads into the argument of like, blah, 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 blah. Of course, it was my fault. So needless to say, I took my day off to go into the Apple store to get that shit fixed.
Oh, that's the worst. Why don't you just do it like on a lunch break or something?
Well, because she can't be without her phone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like, happy wife, happy life. And get that thing taken care of. So that was my little nice little Sunday, and I took my daughter to see Zootopia on Sunday. So that was fun.
How is that movie? I hear it's fantastic.
Yeah, it was cute. It was weird listening to Idris Elba, Barksdale, whatever his name is, from The Wire, as a bull. It was kind of interesting. But what's his name? Jason Bateman. I love that dude. You know, he could play any role, and I can listen to that dude read a phone book, for crying out loud. He's just funny. But he was in it. It was a really cute movie. I actually really, really enjoyed it.
Nice. I will say there's a lot of times if I can, I will say, tell Colleen she needs to go in herself. Like if she has an issue, you need to go. Because
really?
I can't, it's not as bad now, but when I was in there every single day, it's like, I can't troubleshoot your stuff. Like I'll look at it, but like it just stresses me out, because again, I was a family room manager, so like I got my ass handed to me every single day trying to fix iPhone problems. So
oh, yeah.
I had like post-traumatic stress disorder with trying to fix phones. I was like, just make an appointment, go in. Like, I don't know.
Did she ever get like? Because I would like something. Hey, there's something wrong with my computer, and you go, well, make an appointment. I go, make an appointment. I know you. Why do I have to make an appointment? Everyone has to make an appointment. I go, well, that's bullshit. I get nothing. But then you'd walk in there, and of course, Glatfelter is not a common name. Hey, do you know Jay? Yeah, we know Jay. And then you'd get some special treatment once the
See, yeah, you got special treatment once they knew you were a Glatfelter.
Well, I'd have to go in there and say my name. It wasn't like but I still had to wait, though, like everybody else. I had to sit there and wait for my name to be called.
Hey, I was very strict on the rules. I didn't give any special treatment to any family member.
What's the point of having the job?
Well, I've seen people not keep their job.
Exactly.
That kind of crap.
There's got to be some kind of pool.
So, to me, it was just because Colleen would also be like mean with it. She'd just be like, "Your Apple product, what a piece of shit! Like, do you sell this shit?" And I'm like, "Jesus Christ! Like, come on."
Yeah, you know that comes to the territory of having that badge, I guess. But because it doesn't end with your wife. It's your friends. It's your family. Yeah. It's your extended family. It's the people you haven't talked to in 6 years, but they want the newest thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's just part of the price you pay.
It's the benefit of not working at Apple now, because I'll still get those like texts from people I haven't talked to. And I'm like, "Hey, do you still work at Apple?" It's like, "No, I don't. I'm sorry."
And you never hear from them again.
Ever again. Yeah. I should just start doing that. Like, you know, if I get those requests, I'd be like, "Nah, sorry. I work for Google."
Oh, can you get me Google Fiber?
Oh, perfect. I have an Android. No.
You're fine.
Oh, man. We're excited to have you here. We're excited to talk about relationship advice questions. That's the core of what the Married Man show is about. So we're excited to get back to that and to have you here to have your perspective.
I did have a question for you guys. In a second.
You said go ahead and then kept going.
I know.
That you sound like my wife. Like, really do.
Your Apple products suck.
Like, it would be like, because I used to try and say, "Hey, let's use Apple Maps," or try and she preferred Google Maps. And she's like, "I use the Apple Maps that you told me to use."
Well, if you told her to use it, it's your fault.
I know. That is true. That one is kind of on me.
I did ask Jay the other day, because I would do a Survivor podcast. We had the end for a while there. Our local station here would always show basketball games, UNC or Duke, when Survivor was on. So to watch it live, I may have got a website from somebody that you could watch it live. Got on there and I got all these pop-ups on my Mac. I'm so pissed off. So I asked Jay, go here. He goes, "I don't know. Make an appointment." I go, "What the fuck? Can't you just tell me what to do?"
I was like, I managed the geniuses. I wasn't a genius.
Obviously. So I get all these pop-ups now on my stupid computer, and I have to – I called online, and they said, "Do this, do that, do this," and I haven't –
You called online, what did they tell you? Make an appointment.
Well, no, they said, "Try this first. If that doesn't work, then you have to make an appointment."
Did it work?
I haven't done it yet.
Wow. See, that's your fault. That's not my
fault. I'm busy.
what do you have to do?
There should be something they can just do on the internet that just cleans it up. It just puts a little thing in there and makes it better again.
What are you, the FBI? You just want a back door?
I don't care. I don't care. NSA, if you're listening, fix my fucking computer.
They won't know how to fix it.
Shit, they can't even hack into an iPhone.
Yeah, they can't even hack into an iPhone without holding a gun to a company.
That is true.
Oh, man.
Anyway, go ahead.
I'm very excited to have your perspective. Kind of the cool thing about the rotating guest hosts that we have is I think we have people at different stages. We have a single guy, we have an engaged guy, and two married people with kids, with young families, and Jack, the old married guy that got into marriage for all of the right reasons, as we've learned today.
The reasons that I believe to be true.
I know, but like, I'm still surprised. My mom like said okay, like even me, like, I don't care that much.
Again, we got married. She was already pregnant, allegedly. Uh-huh. Allegedly.
So you're saying like if she wasn't pregnant, you wouldn't have gotten married? Is that what we're finding out right now?
We'd already planned on getting married.
Okay, all right. But your whole pitch to her to marry you was, "If you want to have kids, then I'll marry you. Besides that, I'm okay."
I was kind of hoping
off the table.
maybe I was kind of hoping she'd say, "I don't want kids."
You played a dangerous game of chicken that you couldn't win,
and I lost.
Jay, you must feel so loved right now.
Well, see, I was already there. Like, so my father chose to be my father. He, you know, it's his own fault. So if he's upset about it.
Wait, did I?
You did. You decided to marry the woman that already had me. So there was definitely no mistake there. So,
well, there was rumor that she'd put you up for adoption. So there was that going on. So I said, okay. But then she backed out on that one too. So no, I'm kidding.
Oh, man.
You would be sorely missed if you weren't here.
See, that's probably the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
Now we're doing
Yeah, that really was the nicest thing I think I've ever heard you say to him.
Right? Really? I think so. I'm glad we got it here.
I'm good every, like, you know, every 4 years saying something nice to somebody.
Much like a leap year.
Yeah. I'm like Halley's Comet.
So with this show, if you're listening now, we will focus every single show answering questions that you have about your relationship at any point or level or any type of questions you might have. And we'll answer them to the best of our ability from our own life experiences. And again, we're not professionals or anything like that. We're just people that, you know, want to try and help out in any way we can. And, you know, the Married Man Show is also about, you know, what's it from a married man's perspective. It's always fun. The other side of it, a segment that we're adding is something that was a favorite before was Dale's dating disasters. But the thing is, Dale could only have so many dating disasters. I don't know. Well, at least the ones he wanted to tell us. He only had so many. So what I thought would be a lot of fun is to open up to everybody to share your dating disaster. So once a week, you can either call or email in with your dating disaster. And we will have that on the air, and we'll laugh with you, we'll cry with you, we'll
just laugh at you.
This could get interesting.
And maybe we can have Chris at some point in one of the shows down the road share maybe his biggest dating disaster.
Oh yeah, I'm just thinking about them.
Well, we'll save that for a future show down the road. That's a good tease, right? That's a good teaser.
I'll just tell you, it has to do with poop. So stay tuned.
Oh, we had a whole segment on that years ago.
poop is always an interesting topic of conversation. So Jack, do you want to get into our first email? Or yes,
I had a question for you.
Oh, okay, you have a question. Okay,
because I'm older, obviously. All my kids are. My youngest is 24, and you're almost 31, Jay?
Me, 31, correct.
Yeah, I'm just trying to keep this question simple for you. So I at the rink, there was a young girl who was like 8, talking to a kid, another girl who was like 10, talking about another boy who was like 10, and she said, now, because you, Chris, your daughter's almost 4, and Jay, your son's almost 2. I think you guys have a lot. It's tougher because the access they have to the internet, TV, all the different stuff. I think it's tougher to raise kids now than it for certain things than it was when I was raising kids, and probably for my parents and everything else like that. So what I'm saying, this girl who is 8 years old said to the other girl that this boy wants to have sex with you.
Jesus Christ!
Now this girl was 8 years old. When I was told the story, I go, "Are you fucking kidding me?" Now, is that common? Is that I'm going to tell you right now. At 8 years old, I didn't even know what sex was. Now, I could go back to where TV, you know, if you don't control what your kids watch on TV, because I can remember Glee was on at 8 o'clock, and Glee had a lot of subjects on there that I don't think 8 year olds should have been learning about.
Dude, I was watching Gumby, and I was 8 years old, for crying out loud.
Well, he once was a little green ball of clay.
Yeah. And those blockheads, those guys are pricks. But I mean, that's all I watched. Like, I was a cartoon guy. Jack, you're right. Like, I think that the things that our kids are exposed to now is just it's just insane. Like, you think about, like, not only just the content, but you going towards the whole bullying thing. So, like, my wife she's a guidance counselor for middle school kids. So you hear all the crazy ass stories that come from there. Like, when we were kids, when I was 8 or 9 years old, if we got bullied at school, we got bullied, someone, you know, you know, gave you a wedgie at school. You went home and you went about your day and you had a good time with your friends playing outside or whatever, having dinner with the family and blah, blah, blah. Now these kids, they get their atomic wedgies at school and then they get on the school bus and then all of a sudden they have these Twitter accounts. There are people are busting their chops in there. Then on Facebook, they're talking shit about each other. Yeah. And it's just, it doesn't end, right? Nah. So like all that, that bullying, that nagging, all that bullshit just keeps going. But it's the same thing with the content. You can't control what that stuff is all about.
No.
But I mean, also you have to look at like the parents.
How do you stop it? I mean, you can't. As a parent, you can't. I raise kids. You can't be around them 24/7.
Well, do you limit like the access? You know, like to that point.
Well, you try, but you know, I see kids 5-6 years old walking around with smartphones.
See, to me, like, I don't know.
And they know how to use them. I'm like going, I still don't know how to use mine.
I don't want
to
speak for Chris, but like Colleen and I, we're not sure like when we'd want to introduce a smartphone, maybe a cell phone, so that he could have a chance to call us or call an emergency, but. Like I feel like a smartphone. That's like basically a computer. Like it has access to everything.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. No.
Like, I don't think we're gonna do that for a while. You know.
So how much access does your son have to like an iPad, for instance?
We don't. We don't do any apps or anything like that yet.
All right. Yeah. So hold off as long as you can, because the terrifying thing is, and we've gotten to the point where we absolutely restrict the amount of time that she can have with any of these devices or watching movies or whatever. It is insane of what it does to them. Like they fall like slave to the device, and it's crazy. You know, it's actually terrifying. Where you can see the personality of my daughter change on the drop of a dime when we take the iPad away or take a movie away. Mm-hmm. She turns into like Cujo, dude. It's actually insane how crazy they turn. And so, you know, we actually had as a form of punishment one time where she did this, you know, I forgot what the hell it was, some stupid 4-year-old thing to do, but, she was doing something that where repeatedly we had to tell her not to. And I gave her the ultimatum. I'm like, I will take away all of your movies for a week if you do it again. And she did it, and I held to it. I actually did not let her watch any movies for an entire week.
Wow.
And she was the best kid ever when she didn't have the iPad in her hand or a phone in her hand watching YouTube Kids or any of that bullshit. Mm-hmm. So it's amazing the temperament change that they'll have when they're watching and consuming all that content.
Yeah, we'll do a video every now and then, but we try our best at max 30 minutes if we do it. But we prefer if we have the time and to go to the park, go do something more active. But, I mean, there's also those times I'm going to say, like, we need to make dinner and don't want them near the burning pot. Here, watch this video for a minute so we can get everything set up or clean the kitchen or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, going down a rabbit hole here for a second, I have to. But you guys have heard, I don't know if Jay, you may or may not have heard about this, but have you heard about that phenomenon of videos on YouTube where it's some chick who's opening up toys and like displaying them on YouTube and like showing them?
I have heard. Yeah. And she's like a multimillionaire or something like
that. Wait, she's just opening up toys?
Yeah. So it's like these Kinder Egg surprises that Illyrio talks about because they only have them in Canada.
Yeah,
there's these little toys inside the chocolate eggs or whatever, and she opens up. She's like, "Ah, DC collector here. He's got Elsa from Frozen." Blah blah blah.
Is it a child or an adult?
No? Get checked. Here's the punchline. So my daughter was watching these things forever, and they go down like this black hole of like clicking the next video, click the next video, click the next video. This woman. Not only was she the highest paid YouTube, video person, whatever you want to call it, the highest paid YouTuber in 2014 or 15, she was a former porn star.
What?
Wow. I can't make that shit up. That's actually true. So this woman, I guess like somebody recognized like a birthmark on her hand when she was doing these videos, and they connected it, and she was actually a porn star who hung up her porn shoes to
wait. Do you hang up porn shoes, or
you have shoes? If you're
this is the Merry Man Show. I can say what
exactly,
I want.
Right?
So,
yeah.
Exactly. So she shoes.
So she hung up. You know, I don't even know. She stopped. She stopped getting nailed to show toys on YouTube. And
what kind of
clearly,
toys was she showing?
Well,
them?
She hung up the adult toys in for the
or kids' toys.
Oh, there's the joke. There you go. I was thinking about hanging up the curtains or something, but you know, I don't know if that was too far, but I was just channeling my inner Dale there for a second. I just need an exasperated laugh to follow along, but thank you. But I was amazed. I clearly a great career move for her. She was the highest paid YouTuber in 2 years ago, probably made way more money than she was just getting nailed on screen. But it was just interesting to see that my daughter was learning all this stuff from a former porn star.
My question is, like, from that story, so obviously, I mean, I guess not obviously, but it sounds like maybe a father, like, finally watched what the kid was watching, like, hey, I know that hand. So, like, how did that guy bring it up? Because whoever would call it out would have, like, to then admit that, you know,
that hand knows my hand. Yeah. Oh man,
allegedly.
Like, yeah, I mean, whatever, yeah.
Hey, sometimes you gotta make do.
So do you think as parents today, like Jay said, you know, we put a video on just because we, you know, we're working around the, you know, hot pot, and we have to, you know, kind of, we can't be distracted, so this keeps, you know, Zach occupied. I just think a lot of parents, you know, you put in, both parents work today, it's a lot of hours. I mean, I used to pop in a video, you know, get the, you know, videos going, let the kids do, so I could get dinner and stuff going. But I think now it's almost like Cable Guy, where, you know, the babysitter was the TV. Now it's the internet is the babysitter. Yeah.
But you go to, like, restaurants and you see kids that are just totally zoned out.
Wait, it's not just kids. It's everybody.
That's true.
Yeah. I was in Home Depot today getting some stuff because I'm trying to finish my attic, and I needed someone to cut the 2x4s. And I'm walking around. I finally go, I see a guy. I go, hey, excuse, he's on his phone.
With the employee?
Employee. I go, excuse me. He kind of put his finger up. He finished texting. And then he goes, can I help you?
Damn.
I go, yeah, can I just get these cut in half? He goes, sure. I go, all right.
Sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah. Sorry, I had business to do. But my wife and I make fun of these people. We'll be sitting there. And they're sitting across from each other, not talking to each other. They're on their phone.
Yeah, that's a big rule with my family, is that there's no devices at the dinner table.
Yeah,
not at all. Like not myself, not Amanda, not definitely not Emma. Especially if we're at a restaurant. It's interesting because we'll go to restaurants with our friends who have kids, and they're like, "Oh, here's your iPad, kids," blah blah blah. And I'm like, I'm like, no. Like, yeah. I'm going to ask you to take that away from the table because we don't allow that for, yeah. I don't want to sound like a Puritan, you know, but like, it's just like there has to be like some type of sanctity around.
We're,
you know,
we're Amish. Sorry, you can't.
Yeah. Well, not only that, but I think, you know, like, we've taken Zach out to eat since he's a little kid, and we can take him out places and we can go out.
Oh,
to
yeah,
eat,
he's a good kid out.
And it's not, we don't have to, like, I'm not trying to be judgmental or say something's doing, whatever works for you, so be it. But right. At least for us, like, we have some friends that never go out because they can't take their kids out to a restaurant or something like that. And, you know, for me, it's like, well, no, we like to go out to a restaurant. So we like to go out to dinner and have, you know, a nice night. So we've always taken Zach, and, you know, he's well behaved because
as long as the food comes.
Yeah, as long as he has food to eat, he's happy.
If that waitress walks by like for a third time and not stopping to give him food, he starts getting a little uppity.
Yeah, a little bit. That's why we have snacks. We have snacks ready to go.
It's especially great if the waitress is actually attractive, because they turn into magnets.
His godfather and I, for a while working at Apple, we would have lunch meetings. Well, he left Apple when I was still with Apple. We'd have our lunch meetings. We'd go to Hooters with Zachary. It was a great way to bring the ladies to our table.
Yeah, but sorry to break it to you. I don't think they realized that you were in a couple.
Well, the whole time I was like, yes, mommy's at home. Yeah, my wife's at home.
No, really, yeah. She's at home. No, really. I swear,
really, I'm married.
This guy's my buddy. I swear to God,
we're just friends.
Look at my son; isn't he cute?
But what's great is, like, Zach, they, you know, want to hold Zach or hug him, and, you know, he'd put his hands on their breasts. I'm like, all right, son, good job.
Like, dude, you have no idea how good you have it right now.
I'd get arrested.
Oh man! But anyway.
I just think it's like going back to, I think it's tough because, like you're saying, Chris, you go out to dinner with a couple and they start bringing out their, you know, electronic equipment. How do you keep people, like, if they go over to someone's house? I mean, everyone parents differently.
Yeah.
So not everybody has. I mean, growing up, I had friends that did things that I wasn't allowed to do, and your mom, but my mom would say, "Do it, and I'll break your neck," and she would. I mean, there was that fear factor where, you know, she could, back in the day, where you could hit a child and people wouldn't call 911.
Right.
Well, I mean, but you also could do just what you did as a parent, just say, "It's my house, my rules."
Yeah. Don't like it? Move out.
Yep.
Get the fuck out.
Actually, I probably did say that.
No. Yeah. I mean, you have to be selective, right? I mean, you have to be situational at times as well. I mean, there's things that there's appropriate parenting, and then there's just kind of like, you know, the helicopter parenting as well. So,
yeah.
I mean, you kind of the way I look at it is that, you know, I'm going to hold things like the dinner table. That's a sacred thing. You know, like you, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. If you don't like it, go to your room. But when they're around friends, it's definitely harder because especially when our kids are my daughter's age 4 and then Zachary's 2, they're just learning how to be friends with people. Mm-hmm. So it's hard, and they have to have a common ground of something to relate to. And when one kid's relating to Jake and the Neverland Pirates, damn sure you're going to be watching Jake and the Neverland Pirates, which, by the way, is not that bad of a show. but it's hard. And
well, I think you've hit a certain level of dad when you can refer to Disney movies as cute.
Yeah.
I think that there's a certain...
God, I fucking hate Frozen, though. Holy shit.
I've never seen it.
It wasn't that bad. I liked it. It was fine. Or so, is it over? Is it overkill for you? That's the problem.
Well, I think when you've watched it for the 641st time is when it becomes overkill. It's just tough. And I
used to like Dumbo.
Yeah.
Jay was a Dumbo fan.
Here's the thing, though, is that the differences between those movies and things like Frozen was the media, like, promotional monster behind it, which was also known as the fucking soundtrack to the movie, which does not stop. Like, I, to this day, catch myself singing, like, "Do You Want to Be a Snowman?" for crying out loud. And it's funny because, like, I'm sitting here talking about Frozen and how much of a part of my life it's become. I'm sitting here in my basement podcasting as I send the two of you a picture of what I can see directly in front of me, and it's my basement wall covered in fucking Frozen stickers all over the place, and I'm probably gonna have to paint over them. I don't know if they're actually gonna come off the wall or not, but. But yeah, Frozen's become a part of my life.
At least you have a basement.
Yeah. Not bad. I actually redid it myself.
I don't have one.
Take that, Olaf. Why, do you have your kids living in your basement?
No, we don't have one.
You don't have a basement?
No, we don't have a basement.
Yeah, a slab? Like a slab house?
It's like it's got like a crawl space about, what, 2-3 feet?
Yeah, you got a small crawl space. And yeah, and for some, I guess North Carolina, the soil's a lot harder because there's a lot of clay. So the only way you're really going to basement.
There are basements.
I'm saying
too.
Most basements are because it's on a slope or a hill. So it kind of is half underground and half.
It's just another problem with Raleigh.
No, what Colleen and I are looking at houses, then they have basements. So you can't.
I told you, get a house with a basement. Because I got the house in the blind. My wife came out here, she picked out the house. And I go, well, does it have a basement? She goes, I don't remember. I go, how is the attic? And she goes, oh, I didn't look. I go, all right, well, because then we watch all these home improvement shows, and I'm watching them look, and I go, well, it'd be nice to have a damn basement.
Oh, shit. We're currently looking at Boston's basement situation. That's it's pretty nice.
Nice mic, though.
Hey, thanks.
You have a nice mic.
Yeah, I finally had a nickel.
Oh, man, that's...
That's a nice
we'll have to post it as the album artwork for this week.
There you go. Do you want to build a snowman? No, fuck you.
Oh, man. All right, well, we are, let's see, I think almost 50 minutes into this episode. But, you know, that's perfectly fine. It's getting to know Boston today, which I think is important. Much better than getting to know the shitty city of Boston, but the person, Chris in Boston. Which is, wow.
I think you did, I think I heard you last week describe to me as the guy who will just tell it how it is. And yes, yes, that is absolutely true. I will.
Which is good. Which is good.
It is. Yeah. It is. Do you want to get? Do you want me to read the first email, Jack?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, here we go. So this one is titled "Hormone Hell."
Oh, God.
Hi, Jack and Jay. I want to throw a Chris in there too. Of course, you probably didn't know that you were on the show yet. First of all, I had a blast during last weekend's live podcast. Day will be missed, but I'm happy you two are going to continue the Married Man Show. I haven't needed to write in a while, but I now need some advice. And I know you both have experience with this subject. My daughter is 11 and a half years old, and holy hormones, I feel like I'm living with Sybil. She can be sweet as pie 1 minute, snuggling and giving hugs, and then bam, she's throwing a tantrum like a 2-year-old the next minute. Then being belligerent, mouthy, and stomping off in the next. My husband doesn't get as irritated with it as I do. Maybe it's because he's put up with me and my moodiness all these years and has built up an immunity. So, do you have any advice for how to get through the tween teen years with a girl, Jack having had 2 daughters and Jay having had 2 sisters? I figure you'll probably have some insight. Thanks, Julie, the naughty Catholic.
Yeah, move out until she turns 19. Just oh, leave.
Jesus.
To be honest with you, I'm lucky I'm not in jail. I my biggest thing is when, because my wife believes in, you know, kids having a say in life and having being able to express themselves, which I'm okay with as long as they express it in a way that doesn't, I think, cross a line. Like there's a snottiness to a thing. Like Jay and I have had our battles with him growing up because he has a mouth. Both my daughters have a mouth.
In all fairness, I don't really have a mouth. It's just you were kind of a super strict asshole with me growing up.
Maybe, but I wouldn't say asshole. But
there's a slight dickishness too.
There's a line that people that I, you know, like growing up, I didn't have I didn't open my mouth. I mean, it was like, no, that's what you, okay. I might say it under my breath, but there's no way I ever talked to my parents the way I was talked to as my kids talked to me. No way. That just, I wouldn't be alive. I'd be dead. But my daughters, Jay wasn't too bad, but my daughters, oh my God. Jay would call up and say, Dad, we're at DEFCON 5. Stay away. Don't come home.
Well, no, hold on. The series was, because we had 3 women in the house, so yeah. It was DEFCON 1, DEFCON 2, and DEFCON 3. So that was our code to each other when all 3 women were moody and in a bad mood.
Oh. Yeah, and my youngest one was the worst. She was the sweetest child up until like 11 years old. She was just, I mean, Jay and his sister will deny that, argue that. But
she well, was she was the spoiled brat. You guys could let her get away with murder for too long.
Well, your mom did more than I did.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so she just got to this point where she'd call me up at work or call your mom up at work, or get my wife up at work, start talking to us. I say, she'd get really mad and then she'd hang up. I said, don't hang up on me. Don't hang up on me. I said, you hang up on me again, I'm going to come home and you're going to regret it. Well, she hung up on me. And I only live 5 minutes from work. So I'm racing home. I'm out of here. So I go racing home. And then Jay's trying to get them out of the house because he knows I'm coming home. And I pull the corners. They're getting in the car. She goes, oh, she tries running in the house. I grab her and I throw her into the house. She may or may not have hit the door going into the house. I go, get up there, get up there. I'm just screaming at the top of my lungs. And I, you know, as a parent, I know I can't beat my kids in this day and age. So I was like, just the blood pressure would just be going through the roof. So, yeah, it's tough. I mean, my daughters would be best friends 1 minute. Right, Jay?
Mm-hmm.
And the next minute, they're just beating the crap out of each other. And our first Christmas here, we're putting away the Christmas decorations. And everything's fine. I'm in the garage, and our stairs, I was right below where the stairs are in the garage. And I hear this bump, 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 bump going down the stairs. Well, they started fighting. They kicked out 2 of the posts in the stairs, with the post. But all the Christmas ornaments fell down the stairs that was in the box and broke. Wife comes home. Guess whose fault it was?
Yours.
My fault.
Yeah, of course.
She yelled at me because I didn't control them. I go, all they had to do was take them up the stairs. I was going to put them in the attic. It's all they had to do. So they were fighting on who had to do it. And just, it was a nightmare. It was it was the longest, 8 years?
Well, did you ever find a way to deal with it? Or did you just somehow survive it?
Because my wife was always, don't feed into it. Don't take sides. Don't ignore it. I can only ignore it for so long.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't. I can't take it. So either I would go play hockey. I'd leave the house. I'd go outside and work. It'd be 115 degrees outside. I'm outside mowing the lawn. Are you fine? Yes, I'm fine. Heat stroke is better than being in the house. I just had to avoid it because my wife was better at ignoring it. Even though sometimes I'd be getting, there was one time I was getting dressed for hockey and I had to come home because she was going to kill my youngest daughter.
Yeah, I think from my perspective, it is learning how to, or it's probably the same way kind of us as husbands deal with our wives when they're moody. And honestly, guys are moody too sometimes, so they have to deal with us. I'm not saying
I'm never moody, so I don't understand that.
No, I'll say it. You're moody, and I know I'm moody.
Hey, see me after a Charger loss.
But yeah, Boston doesn't really know what losing's like, so I don't really have to sympathize with that with him.
Hey, I'm still in a bad mood from a playoff game, 2007 playoff game.
Let's not bring it back up. Just let it go.
I'm still pissed off about that.
Just let it go. I know. You're still pissed off. I didn't know.
It will never. I will never get over that. I don't know how the players go. I didn't know how the players on the Chargers continued playing after that.
That was a brutal game.
God.
Anyway. Even I remember it, and we won.
We should have won by 40 points.
All right. Come on.
I'm better now.
I mean, from my perspective, I think the only thing you can do is just get home, get comfortable, and just drink. I mean, that's pretty much where I see. But no, in all honesty, it's hard for me to step in and offer, my perspective. I clearly don't have an 11-year-old daughter, and to be quite honest with you, I fear that day.
I know you have the impending doom. You know, it's like there on the horizon.
This is what's coming my way. But I will tie it to how I kind of handle those temper tantrums with Emma. And holy shit, I have the most stubborn 4-year-old on the face of the planet, where I'll have her, tell her to go to her room and she'll not stay in there. I have to physically pick her up 14 times and bring her back in. And I get to the point where I lose, right? And because Jack, as you said, there was a day in which you could say no, and if you disrespect me or if you do it not as I say, back in the day when I was a kid, I get whacked in the behind, right? And that was kind of like
whacked with anything she got her hands on.
yeah, exactly. Well, where was it within arm reach? And I don't do that. I don't want to do that, right? I mean, it's a different time now, and I could never imagine doing that, right? But one of the things that I love to do, and I don't know if this translates to an 11-year-old, but who knows? I actually find the whole psychology of children fascinating. Like I try to fuck with them. Like I really do. like that's the best way to do it. It's just to get down on their level and pretend that you are literally knee deep in the shit that they're wading through, and just trying to relate to whatever it is they're fucking flipping out about. Usually it's about some stupid shit that doesn't even make sense. You know, like the fact that a Fig Newton is not a cookie, to steal something from Louis C.K. But I find myself getting involved in it and just having kind of fucking with them, because at least it makes it entertaining when you're trying to meddle through whatever bullshit that they're flipping out about. And if you do it long enough, they actually get tired and they'll fall asleep. And that's pretty much what I do.
But when they're 11, they're not going to fall asleep.
No, they're not.
I think if I would have listened to my wife and stayed out of it more and just let them go on, it would have been better. I said, when I learned to just go outside or go do something and just leave the house when it was going on, it was better. But when I fed into it, it did make it worse. So yeah. My advice is to just ignore her best you can. I mean, it's hard because, like you said, when they just start coming at you, you're like, you're horrible, mom. You're horrible. You're like going, what the fuck? Where is this coming from? Because they're having a bad day. They can't control their emotions. They can't control. I mean, Jay threw a book at me one time. And he's lucky.
Oh,
to
my God. I'm going to throw a book.
Jay threw a book at me one time. Here, you read it. And threw it and threw the book at me. And literally, I had to count. After I picked him up and had him up against the wall, I had to stop and go, all right, I need to walk away because I'm going to kill him.
What book was it?
I don't even know. It was some school book he was reading. And I don't know what he was doing, but he threw the book. You read it then.
Like, if it was like that biology book, that shit hurts.
Yeah, it didn't hurt. It was just the fact that he threw a book at me. And so
I gave it to you and said, here.
To be fair, Jay does throw like a girl, so how hard could it hurt? But no, it's just if I could go back in time, I would do a better job of saying, okay, just ignore it. Just because my youngest daughter, we'd be literally face to face screaming at each other. Just my veins would be popping out.
Well,
of my neck.
I do like Boston's idea of actually kind of trying to put yourself in their shoes and understand whatever it is that they're flipping out about.
Yeah, but the thing you have to be careful on is you're literally going into Dr. Ignatius' Magic Emporium because none of it fucking makes sense. It's like it doesn't make sense at all. You're literally walking into a 4-year-old's like nightmare or dream. You can't put any type of reality to it. So you kind of it's interesting.
does your consciousness get lost? Like you just kinda...
dude, next thing I know, the walls are sideways and it's crazy. It's nuts. But
you wish that Dale would stop by in his beat up truck and hand you some Mentos.
Seriously. that would make it all right. It's fun because sometimes when with Emma, like she sees that I'm like, and Jay, I'm totally steps of servicing my daughter at this point. That's an old work thing, but it's weird to see the point when she realizes that I'm not like scolding, but like trying to be on the same page as her, and she realizes it, and she gets like weirded out by it. She's like, oh, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, like the argument kind of like stops. It's weird. It's a fun little psychological game to play, but not when you got 50 things going on and you're trying to navigate getting your shit together for the next day, and your daughter's being a pain in the ass, and then it just turns into a shit show.
I understand what you're saying, and I'd like to try and help resolve whatever issues you're having.
No, you hate me.
What I hear you saying is that you want 7 cookies, not 6. And I'm sorry, but now you have 0 cookies because you're being a fucking pain in the ass. How does that make you feel?
Shitty.
I think for the naughty Catholic.
I did not help her whatsoever with my ramblings. I apologize.
She's probably thinking, my 11-year-old, we're not worried about cookies right now.
Well, you just replace cookies with whatever else could be the issue that your 11-year-old is facing. But
it is a different beast. I mean, I had 3 sisters, so I kind of knew going in what it was going to be like. But I think the mistake was having 2 daughters less than 2 years apart. That was what made it just the...
Well, I know I told my wife, I said, just so you know, if we have a girl first, that's it. We're done. I can't risk 2 girls. I can't live that life again.
I can't do it.
I can't do it again. I've done my time.
I've done it.
So, once Zach was born, I was like, all right. Or once we knew we were going to have a boy, I was like, okay, we can have multiple kids.
If you put me on a psychologist-like couch right now and ask you what my most deep inner fears are, number one would be having another daughter. I mean, we're not yet having another kid. We actually we're gonna wait another year or so. Mm-hmm. And then we're potentially gonna try and have another child. And if it's a girl, dude, I'm screwed. Like Jack, I've been listening to some of your the last few months of shows and hearing obviously you're planning weddings for 2 daughters. Right.
Yeah. It's a nightmare.
Like that fucking terrifies me. Like there's a part deep inside of me. There's a sadistic part that wishes that my daughter is going to grow up digging chicks because that way at least we can split that shit down the middle and call it a day.
Well, my
that's a fair point because I look at Colleen's dad. They have it's just 3 girls. And I was like, yeah. I'm sorry, man. Like, you know, you do your life. But if I had 2, I'm like, you're damn sure. I was like, that's it.
And I've been around your father-in-law when the three girls are together. And he just sits there because he's probably learned I can't speak. So there's just, you know, just sits there.
I mean, poor man.
You sit there, you see it.
And God bless her, Colleen's dad, too, because he had three daughters, right? And they're getting married. Are two of them are married or three?
Two of them are married now. Third one, okay. Not yet.
Not yet, but most likely to be married on Long Island.
Oh, God, right? Yeah.
And I'm telling you, like, I've had the pleasure of attending two or three Long Island weddings in the last 5 years or so. And the best way I can picture it is that picture any fucking high roller party that James Bond goes to in a movie. That literally is a Long Island wedding. Yeah. Like, I'll never forget, Jay. Like, I'll never forget. Like, I'm sitting there at, was it your, yeah, I think it was your wedding. Was it your wedding? Shit, I don't even know. There's a few different
ones. You were stoned. How do you know it? You can't.
I don't know. Anyway, so I remember being at, like, you know, after the ceremony, gorgeous, beautiful, beautiful, you know, church service, the whole nine. And then we're at this cocktail hour, and there's like carving stations. There's like sushi bar. Some dudes walk around with like throwing like lobster tails at people, like it's no one's business. And like, all this shit's happening. I'm like, this is fucking awesome. This is like the best wedding reception I've ever been to. And then all of a sudden, a woman comes and goes, "Excuse me, sir, you have to come this way. We're serving dinner." I'm like, well, what the fuck is this?
I think that was Jay's wedding.
I hear our cocktail hour is amazing. I didn't get to experience it because I was taking stupid photos.
I said the same thing. I go, because my mom, I go, I guess this is the dinner, I guess. But then we walked. I go, oh, wait, there's another room for dinner. But their wedding cracked me up because they go, oh, the after party. I go, well, what's the after party? They go, the reception? They go, no, the party after the reception. I go, all right, I've never heard about this.
What do we do for that?
We went to the bar at the hotel. I'd never heard of that.
You guys
never
were
heard
at
of
that.
An after party. Yeah, I was there, but
I'm saying Kristen.
I was there, right?
Yeah, you were there. Yeah.
I think that's where you got the Mentos.
I mean, we were all fairly drunk at that point. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I was drunk, but I was like going, I didn't know there was a I go, and they kept going, the party after. I go, I'm not from New York. I've never heard of this.
And then you have the breakfast the next day.
Yeah, it's just like it never fucking ends. It's like, okay, I'm done. I'm good.
There's photographic evidence of this, of course, where at one point I found myself with like my suit pants hiked up to my waist, standing in the middle of a fucking fountain holding an umbrella. I don't know why.
We tried to recreate the Friends.
Okay.
So we got a bunch of umbrellas from people, and then we tried to recreate that scene.
But the best part is when the woman who worked for the place where you got married or the reception comes like running, like, get the fuck out of that fountain, blah, blah, blah. And we're like, why? What's the big deal? Like, apparently there's like live electricity like running through the fountain, and we literally almost killed like 30 people.
Well, yeah. So there was like a they had some extension cord that was running through the fountain. So
well, shouldn't it have had a note on there? Don't climb into the fountain.
There was no note. I guess it was implied you shouldn't go into the fountain.
Better idea. Don't put a fucking extension cord in a fountain. Like,
really?
Like,
that's not safe.
What are you doing?
You know, Chris, I was going to say your biggest fear, though, you said Emma's what, 4? Wait till she's like 16, because my daughters, you know, when they got that age, and I'd walk into somewhere with them, and they're pretty attractive girls, and every guy would, I mean, older guys too would turn around and look at him. You're like going, and you just have to stare back at him. Like, that's my fucking daughter. Turn back around.
Yeah.
You'd make eye contact with each other, and the guy would like look down and go, oh wait, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Especially the older guys that have daughters, because they look up and go, you just look at him and go, what the fuck are you looking at?
Yeah, man. The Irish blood might boil at that point. That might get into some trouble.
Well, I can align with.
Align with me, Jay. This isn't Apple.
It doesn't go away.
No, it doesn't.
It stays with you forever. No, but just like that, because I just remember telling Connor, I was like, we better hope it's not a girl first, because I will have some serious reservations on trying to have another kid. Because I don't know if I could live that life. I don't know if I could.
I did deal with Zach's first temper tantrum with us the other day, and I handled that pretty well, I thought. Say, hey, buddy, come on. Come on now. Knock it
Cut
off.
The shit.
Yeah, I love witnessing Jack turn into a true grandfather, which is he's the softest motherfucker around that just lets, you know, whoever the fuck he wants.
And then he goes, he looked at me, because we go to Cracker Barrel every Thursday, and he has to get this toy. He gets a toy afterwards and stuff like that.
Sure, because that's what one does. Just get a new toy every single time you see him.
They're not expensive. They're little trucks. He likes trucks and cars and stuff like that. So, but he always tries to get it beforehand. So we always say no. I hate telling him no, so we decided to take him a different direction. Well, he's so smart. He knew what I was doing, and he's pulled away. I go, oh no, we're going this way. Ah! He starts throwing a fit. He's kicking his feet. He's throwing a fit. So I pick him. Hey, let's knock it off. Knock it off. We're in a restaurant. And then he hugs me. And so I said, look at this baby over here. Is this baby making a scene? No. So we sat him down. He was fine after that.
Now, Jay, every time you go to a restaurant, he wants a fucking truck.
It's just wherever the fuck we go. Because, like, they take him to Target and they buy him something. They take him wherever it is and they buy him something. So now his expectation that he's going to be bought something every single time he goes somewhere.
Well, you just have to tell him no.
Yeah.
Speaking of, I bought my daughter her first bike today.
And oh, nice.
I'm putting that together on Friday evening for her birthday party on Saturday.
Well, that'll nice. Be fun.
That's nice. Exciting.
Which is Frozen themed.
My whole life is Frozen themed.
Fucking Frozen.
Is it a Frozen bike?
No, it's like a pink princessy thing bike. Yeah.
Training wheels and all that stuff.
It may as well be a Frozen bike. She probably want to paint it blue.
Are you going to help her let go of the training wheels?
Jesus. So, yeah, okay. I'm really going to kill this Frozen thing for one last joke.
Okay.
She comes up to me the other day and clearly had to have been coached, I think. I don't know. Either that or my daughter's going to be a comedian when she grows up. She comes up to me and she goes, Daddy, why shouldn't you give Elsa a balloon? I'm like, why? She goes, because she'll let it go. And I was like, oh, Jesus Christ. I'm like, shit, that's funny, though. Like, I mean, like, well, great job. Like, I mean, that's actually a quality joke for a four-year-old. I'm impressed. But God, damn, Frozen. Frozen rules everything.
My daughter, my youngest one, did a thing. She goes, she used to like to play tricks on me. She goes, do Jesus. I go, do Jesus. She goes, do Jesus, like on the cross. I go, so I put my, and then she punched me in the stomach.
Yes. Nice.
So that I always remember, do Jesus, and I go, so I never fell for it twice, but that's how my daughter, she didn't tell me jokes, she just punched me in the gut.
Just physical abuse.
I do tell her, though, I said, because some will say my hairline, I said, they'll see pictures of me when I had hair, I said, that's BK. They go, what does that mean? Before Kayla, before the youngest one. You're losing your hair before that? I go, oh, no.
It in all fairness, you were, because I remember like when I was
in all
three
fairness,
making fun
it,
of your balding
it,
hair.
It retreated really quick when she was after a couple years with her.
I say the same thing for me. Like my hair is turning gray at an alarming rate.
At least it's gray.
That's
I hate people that bitch about having gray hair.
I don't mind. Like, cause again, I'd much rather have gray hair than no hair like you. So yeah. I'm okay with it, but yeah. It definitely.
So I decided to grow a beard and
you have a pretty good beard game, though. Like, you have a nice beard.
You know what? Thank you. I appreciate that because my wife hates it, and she tells me about it every day. But I found a gray hair in my beard the other day, and I kind of flipped out. It's like my first gray. But beards are awesome. And, yes, I definitely just took a picture and sent it to you of my beard.
you can definitely
multiply. Hashtag beard selfie.
Hashtag beard selfie. I'm loving the beard. So that way, if my hair starts going, at least I'll have a sweet mane in the front to have and show off.
Nice. I don't have as strong of a beard game, but I have grown the facial hair. It's just like when I became a dad, like it was like I think it's just something you do, because I like it. I like the way it covers up the fat rolls in my face. It just does a really good job
shaping my face. You can eat less.
Yeah, I guess that's an option, but it's much easier just to grow a beard.
Mix in a salad every now and then.
Oh, man. We do have some phone calls here.
So I hope we
yeah,
helped
I think,
the Naughty
yeah,
Catholic
I think
on that.
For the Naughty Catholic, I think those were some good advice. And if it's not good advice, please write in to let us know. We'd love your
feedback. Well, if anybody else has experience with teenage daughters, teenage sons too. I don't want to be chauvinist here.
We're really big into fearless feedback here, so whatever you can give.
Jesus Christ!
Another inside joke. All right. Oh, nice. Boston just sent us his beard selfie. It's that's nice. All right. Well, let's get into the calls here. And actually, it's going to be interesting since Chris, you're not in the air. I think I'm going to try and play it over this microphone, and hopefully, it doesn't blow up in my face. But let's see.
Oh, you finally figured it out.
What's that?
You finally figured it out?
No, no, no. Like, I'm using the internal microphone, so I'm just going to play it and see if you can hear it.
We did a podcast with somebody, and they were able to play the calls so we could all hear it.
I know how to do it.
I said, why don't you ask them how to do it? He goes, well, I don't want to sound stupid.
No, I figured it out. I'm not in my normal home studio setup, but I'm too lazy to do it at my home studio setup.
We've yet to do it. What do you mean you figured it out?
I know how to do it. I just haven't done it yet. Don't judge me, okay? I'm a busy guy.
I'm not judging you.
Okay.
All right, let's try this out. See if it works. Or not. Why is this not playing?
Call someone an apple.
I heard myself. Uh-oh.
I heard that beep.
Hey, hopefully it's not too much of an echo. Is it not even playing?
No.
Hold on.
Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba. Casual tech for the everyday man.
And woman.
Used like on TV commercials or radio commercials.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, they totally ripped off Jay and Jack.
We have people that send us things saying, hey, they stole your jingle. I go, well, that wasn't ours. That was just something that's on Garage. They go, really? They go, I totally thought that was yours that Jay came up with. I go, no, that was good.
A big company used like the theme music that we use on the Married Man show. It was like on PBS or something. Like used that as like an outro music. I was like, oh, look at that.
I think that's what I'm thinking. I remember hearing it and being like, it was the dent, 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 dent. Yeah. I heard that. It was a commercial or a TV show. I heard it on television. And I was like, wait a minute. Where's Dale?
Someone did take one of Jay's original songs on YouTube and put the video to what it was talking about. It might have been Lenny. And it had like 20,000+ hits on YouTube at one point. I said, Jay, you know, someone took your song and it's getting all these hits.
I don't care. It's fine. Just I believe in putting things out there and the goodwill it receives on the other end. Yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
That sounds like someone was pissed off. They didn't figure out how to monetize their music.
All I know is if we had YouTube when I was making podcasts, we'd be a lot richer today. All right. Let me try this again. See if this works.
Hi, this is Tim calling from the state lottery. I am calling today for Mr. Dale Vanderpool. Mr. Vanderpool, you have a $10 million prize waiting for you. All you need to do is be available at this moment. Oh, unfortunately, it sounds like you are not available, so you will have to forfeit the prize. My apologies. Thank you for playing.
Ah, poor Dale.
That would be Taffy's luck. That would be his luck.
Oh, come on!
Is that your Dale impression? Come on, guys!
Little Gomer Pyle Dale in there, but yeah, it is his luck. But he would probably say, "I don't need the money anyway." I podcast for love.
Some would say it was the opposite. all right, let's go to actually. Our other phone call is in our dating disasters. Segment.
Oh,
right. Cool. And actually, I should probably write a jingle for this.
When was the last time you actually wrote a jingle?
I wrote one for the theme song for The Leftovers. I think.
Did you?
Yeah. The intro music was.
I've never listened to a Leftover podcast. I don't know.
Jeez, Louise!
Should I have said that out loud?
Yeah, you're a lazy podcaster.
What? I podcast. Do I have to listen to it? I used to listen to the Lost ones just because I never remembered what we said. And when people sent us emails, I had to, remember, to remind me what we said. But
so like that's how you jumped the shark. You don't listen to Improve Yourself anymore. It's just like, bah, whatever.
I think I'm as good as I'm going to get. You reach a certain age, you peak.
Oh, man.
You look at Ted Williams. Ted Williams could only – he eventually had to retire, right?
I guess so.
Tony Gwynn.
all right, so let's get to our first dating disaster. You guys ready for this?
Yes.
All right, here we go. Hey, Chris, we lost you there.
I'm here. I'm hearing Jack talk about my wife finishing me off. And let's just say I wish that was happening right now.
Well, I meant something else, but I guess that worked.
No, I mean, I think we could probably write a jingle right now, or at least do an intro to the dating disaster. Like something like, in a world where the relationship is determined whether he swipes right or left, Tommy suffers from being never hard.
In a world. Whenever I hear that, I think of you watch Parks and Rec.
Yeah, of course.
So, Bobby Newport's never had a job in his life. All right, well, let's take it away here. I believe this is Jacob with his dating disaster. Here we go.
Hey, Jay and Jack. This is Jacob. Wanted to call in. I'm really excited that you guys opened up the dating disasters for the callers and listeners to, you know, get their say in. I actually have several horrible dating disasters. In fact, they've always been known among my friends as Jacob's breakups. They're heartbreaking tales of woe, and I'm really excited to share a couple of them. I'm probably going to call multiple times, so just be prepared for that. But the first one, the most intense one that I love to tell people, is horrible because it was in high school. I had just moved to a brand new school, and I was going to make a new name for myself. I was kind of a dweeby little artistic nerd that's only good for, you know, drawing pictures of, you know, random things for people at their beckoning command. So getting out of there and going to a school that I actually fit in at was extremely important for me, and I decided to go the way of the arts and become, like, part of the theater group and audition for the play. I did. I got a role, and the role had a kissing scene. And very quickly, I was starting to fall for this girl who was the kissing partner in the play. And we were horrible at it. We could not, like, make a convincing kiss. And what ended up happening is we had to practice over and over and over all the time. Every day after school, we would practice like 10 to 20 times just kissing to make it look like we gave a shit.
Yeah, right.
I guess eventually it worked out. That was fine. We ended up making it believable. If anything, it made it better for, you know, dating in the real world. But I really liked this girl. So the first opening night, my family comes and sees this and sees their little baby boy upstage kissing a girl, and go downstairs after the show. I was like, what do you think? And what do you think about this girl? She's really cool. My mom breaks the news to me that this girl happens to be my cousin.
Oh.
And then we had to continue the show the rest of the weekend with that knowledge. Oh. I had no idea that we were related in any way. It took both of our families to come on the same night. Oh, up with each other after
that's what she said.
Come to the conclusion that this girl that I'd been practicing kissing every day after school for was actually my cousin. And oh boy, it was horrendous and just the worst thing to have possibly happened. So there you go. You know now that I have kissed my cousin a million times, so with that knowledge, what you're gonna do? Anyway,
Wow.
I'm gonna do my best, Dale. Oh. Well, was she hot?
I was thinking the same thing. How big were her breasts? That would be a Dale problem.
If you can't keep it in your pants, keep it in the family. dude, that's terrible.
Oh man.
I wonder if anyone else in school found out. Talk about being bullied. Oh my God.
I gotta tell you, at first I was like, where the fuck is this story going? and then that when he dropped that bomb, I literally almost fell off the futon. What do you do?
Yeah. That's tough. Like
you can't take that back either.
Yeah, there's like
like there's two roads you can take. You can take the, you know, turn around and fucking run and just put that behind you, or just go full all in. I mean, there's really no in between. Like what do? You either have to commit to that or never look at that person ever again.
Thanksgiving dinner is kind of awkward now.
Yeah, like how do you?
Oh my goodness.
We're both at the big table now.
like yeah, it's just like it there's no way for that to be like that sweet story that, you know, you say at family reunions. Like,
like the worst part is the poor guy, Jacob. I'm sorry. I can't feel for you. I don't know how to feel for you, but like I feel bad for you. But like the fact that he was trying so damn hard to just to find himself at that time, you know, like moving to a different school, trying to fit in, getting involved in the things that he had totally enjoys, like the, you know, being a theater guy, music, whatever, the whole nine. And then, shit, dude, like that just sucks. Like that's just terrible. Like that, talk about bad luck. I mean,
some never recover from something like that.
Clearly, you know, like that. Oh man, I can't even.
What's he has to do on the next date? I need to take a DNA test.
What
if it's like an Eleanor Roosevelt kind of cousin where it's like sixth cousin or something? Does it count at that point? Like, is it still?
Well, Eleanor Roosevelt, come on. That's just gross.
Well, I'm saying they were cousins, but not like immediate cousins.
No, I meant in a different way.
Oh, okay. You're saying Eleanor Roosevelt.
I'm kidding. I'm joking.
Well, apparently FDR also had a long time affair with somebody else during that because it was a sexless marriage, apparently.
When he was telling this story, I'm thinking, okay, it's going to be something like these actors when they talk about how awkward sex scenes are and stuff like this and how awkward it was and stuff. But like Chris said,
took a dramatic turn.
I did not see that coming at all. That could be a Lifetime movie.
you take the image back to just all their hours of practicing kissing.
Yeah, all hours upon hours upon hours, and then you throw the boom. Wow.
And just think, I mean, I don't know how long ago that was for Jacob, but just think of the relentless fucking ball busting his buddies must have been giving him for at least the last, like, however many years it's been. Like, how is that not ever, like, the last word? Like, if Jacob is ever, like, busting someone's chops or being like that, well, at least I didn't try to fuck my cousin. There's no recovering from that.
It's true.
You can't win. You're right.
That's true.
Yeah. Wow. I would move. Like I would literally move. Go up north. Go to Canada. You can avoid Trump the whole nine. You'd be fine. But like it's just
I'm leaving because of Trump. Has nothing to do with me fucking my cousin.
Wait, what about your cousin? Nothing.
But the for me, it's really hard for me to relate to that story to begin with because I mean you hear these stories every once in a while, typically on like Howard Stern, but like. I grew up and like I know who my cousins are. Like that, how do you not know like who your relations are? I mean, granted, it's a different, you know, different society, different family, different size family, different backgrounds, whatever. But like I feel like I know my relatives.
Well, fair for me. I grew up in San Diego, but I was born in Pennsylvania, and my dad was born in Pennsylvania. So his family was all on the East Coast. So there's time that. Last couple of years, I've met cousins I didn't know I had. So I could see that happening.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. I'm sorry, Jacob.
That was a cool story, though.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to kick off
for the listeners.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to kick off this new. I think there's no better story to kick off your own dating disaster.
You know, some people are like getting ready to call and said, fuck, I can't top that one.
I know, right? I do want to know, Jacob, though. So if you could, if the next time I'm on or next episode or whatever, the thing I really want to know is like, is she hot?
I think we all want to know.
Yeah.
I think it's only fair.
It's only fair for the trauma that I've been put through without having a visual representation of
your ordeal. I wonder if you had a huge – I mean, if you're kissing someone like that at a young age, how can you not have a crush on her too?
He liked her. He said he liked her.
You're getting – you know, did he go home and well, I'm, you know, I'm not, I don't want to get too graphic here, but did he, you know –
Well, apparently not yet because there was kissing on.
No. Did he go home and maybe finish the job himself?
Yeah, he went home and watched some YouTube videos about some porn star opening toys.
Exactly like that and said, okay, I'm done. Woo, I can't wait for tomorrow to go kiss her. I'm just saying at a young age that might be what someone would do in that situation. And he was doing it to his cousin. I'm just saying. He's brought it up. So I'm
like, does he go home and on those potential websites he might go to search for those types of things?
Oh my
like, has that become like a thing for him? Is he scrolling through the categories on www.boobs.com or insert porn website? And is he looking for that? Like, I want to know, Jacob, how has this affected you till this day? Like, are you okay with it? Do you talk to her?
Didn't Sally Field do a show called Kissing Cousins or something like that? It was Cousins or something like that. She did a show where she was it's not Sally Field. It was Patty Duke, I think.
I think that was called Taboo.
Or Deep South.
Or West Virginia.
West Virginia.
Oh, man.
Damn, shit. You got a good find there, boy.
Oh, God.
That's a great way. That's a fantastic.
So, if you would like to call in with your dating disasters, you can do so at 510-69-TAFFY.
And the best thing is we'll be supportive and not make fun of you.
No, I think we're appreciating his story and the hardship he must have went through.
You
know what, though? That makes my future story about my dating disaster with poop so much easier to tell.
That's good. But if you'd like to call in yours, anybody listening at home right now, I think Jacob has set a good standard for, you know, dating disasters. If he can talk about that story, you can talk about yours. And you can do so calling at 510-69-TAFFY or send an email to marriedmanpodcast@gmail.com. All right, I think this is a good place to start wrapping up the show. I'd like to thank our patrons that make the show possible over at patreon.com/JayandJack and our special patrons, Tack from Tokyo, Eckhart Richter, and a new contributor, Brad, from Chicago. Just joined at our $50 or more level. So big thanks to those guys and big thanks to all 124 of our patrons. You make this show possible. Boston, it was great having you on. This was a lot of fun. Had a really good time. And I think you're going to be a great guest host to run out the rest of this season. Had an absolute blast.
Likewise, guys.
Warm taffy who? Too soon?
No, much respect to the man of Warm Taffy. I have to say I also had a blast doing this. This is like, you know, this is what it's all about, really. You're just kind of hanging out and just shooting the shit and listening to other people's fucking tragic stories. Because it makes me feel a little bit better about the poop that's upstairs. I have to go clean up from my dog who probably shit in the kitchen because I haven't walked him yet. But it's been a blast. I'm looking forward to the next round where I can come back and hang out with you.
Absolutely.
Guys.
Absolutely. For us, it's generally we have about 4 guest hosts, so maybe like once a month or somewhere around there. We'll have everybody on, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, but you know, Tim sucks. So if it doesn't work out, I can fill in for him if you need me to. I love you, Tim.
That's good. I like some inter guest host rivalry, I think, is good.
Fuck Tim.
Oh, that's great.
I missed it.
This was a lot of fun. I was like half asleep before I got here because I'm really tired today. And this woke me up. I'm having a good time.
You know, I know why it is, because you're fucking old.
I am old. You're telling me something I don't. But who looks older? I mean, you walk like you're 100 years old.
Oh, shut up! No, I don't. You're full of shit.
You do.
All right.
I just think like I knew you guys 10 years ago, Jack, when you were still old. But like it's fun to see you know how we the relationships, the friendships, and all that type of stuff. If like I can jump onto the microphone with you guys and just start talking about random shit, and it's like there's no break in between.
Well, the
so,
best thing is we talked about a half hour before we even started recording.
Yeah, we totally forgot that we were doing a show. I gave you shit about how much your Chargers suck and how much that stadium's a piece of shit. But like,
the stadium is a dump. I mean, it's funny because when people say that, I go, well, no one's harder on that stadium than me. Yeah, I criticize that stadium more than anybody else.
I like the stadium because we often win when we're there. I was actually there in December of last year, in which we saw our Patriots really victorious over the Chargers. It was fantastic.
But it was a close game, right?
It was. It was a fun game to watch.
We couldn't stop the Frankenstein Gronkowski.
Yeah, we literally put your kicker in the hospital. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah, that was nice. That was nice. Yeah. No, that was 2 years ago. You put our
that
kicker
was
in the
two
hospital.
Years ago.
Best block by Donald Brown. Just let the guy run right in there and kill our kicker. That was the game too. That was a turning point in the game.
It was.
Oh man.
Anywho, but it was a blast, guys. Thanks for having me, and I'm looking forward to coming back and showing how much better than Tim I am.
That's great. All right, guys, we'll see you next time. Hasta luego and goodbye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.